I mean, how many of you, after singing that, you're ready to go wherever God wants you to go? That's pretty crazy now. That I would allow the Lord to just take my life and I'm going to go where he wants to go. It kind of starts out like that today, but guess what? I'm going to ask you this, to just be who God made you to be. How many of y'all cool with that? Just be who God made you to be. That God in you, the Lord that is in you, God has come in you. Now, let's think about this for a minute. We are the only faith that God comes in. Now, a lot of people want to say every faith's alike and all avenues to Christ. No. Jesus is the only God that comes to you. Every other faith system, you got to go get and you got to go do. You got to do these things and then God will love you. Or you got to say these things and God will love you. Or you got to be in the right location and then God will receive you. But Jesus says, guess what? Come as you are and be changed forever. Anybody excited about that message? That today, think about this, through the power of God's grace, anybody can be saved. Now let's hear the word once again. Love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body, and love our neighbor as our... Is God kind of bringing that one through in January? Last week we talked about that love is more than a word. It is more than an emotion. It is more than a concept. It is more than a philosophy. It is the reality that we would actually reach out and somebody would get better because we live. And today, I want to let you know, who you are in Christ is important. Be who you are in Christ. Others are essential in those who believe in Jesus. Blessing others naturally occurs in true believers. Others matter. Now, that's tough today, isn't it? When I talk about others matter, is that not tough today? Why? I mean, what's up? We live in America. What does America tell us to do? What's the verse of an American? Love thyself and nobody else, no matter what. So help me God. Isn't that what's this? In America, who are we concerned about before we're concerned about anybody else? Self. What's this? Coming up on a 55% divorce rate in America. Self. Kids really not connected to their parents. Self. It's self. And here's what self does. It keeps you away from what you could be. Self keeps you away from what you could be, because if you get past yourself and then into Jesus, then you can be what he wants you to be. Does that make sense? So go with me and say, what in the world is God looking for? We as a church, we got to get in there and we got to get with it. And if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, it's messy. To really follow Jesus Christ is messy because others matter. It's messy. How many of you all have found there's some things that are really, really exciting to do, but they're messy? Some of you all are in this moment. Parenting. Clean, organized, wonderful, or is it messy? It's messy. How many of y'all have children that won't do what you want them to do sometimes? Everybody got one of those? Good. Those are called human children. Yeah. How many of you, when you were philosophically becoming a parent, how many of you had children that just did everything you asked them to do? I have found that philosophical children are much better behaved than the real ones. Aren't you? I have found that the theory of parenting is much easier to engage in than the reality of parenting. I have found, watch this, that a theoretical marriage is easier to be a hero in than an actual one. Well, God is asking our faith, the power of the Holy Spirit. When I say our faith, you know what that is? That is the power of God's love, the power of God's Holy Spirit that has been invested in us because he's forgiven us of our sin, okay? And he dwells in us. Now we got to get real to the world. I'm going to give you some good news. Jesus is coming back. How many of y'all glad to know that? Jesus is coming back. I'm glad some of you are excited about that. Now watch this. Jesus coming back is going to do two things. Some of you are going to be going, man, thank you, God. I'm glad that you're back. It's going to be wonderful. And the rest of you are going to be in a hell of a lot of trouble. I'm saying it's one or the other. Now, what's going to smoke us down in this society today, we don't believe there's a consequence anymore. We just don't believe it. Well, God wasn't. Did God really say, yeah, How many of y'all understand that this whole messed up world started with this phrase? Did God really say? Yeah. God said, don't be munching off the tree in the middle of the garden. Now that's paraphrased. He didn't say munching. He said eat. Don't eat off the tree in the middle of the garden. What did we go do? And I say we because if I'd have been there standing next to, well, if it's Elizabeth and I, and she is disrobed, I might eat the apple too. See, I mean, there we are. We're standing there. We're standing there totally naked and vulnerable in the garden. This is in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the Bible. Now some of y'all will read the Bible once you realize it is not PG. It's real. It's actual. It's every day. It's God creating us and coming into our lives. And we make the decision, did God really say? That starts it all. That gets it all out of whack. Did God really say? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said this. And then what? We got in trouble because we leaned into ourselves. That was the next mistake we made here. It's all about us. What did Eve say? She wasn't tempted because she was hungry. She was tempted because didn't the serpent say, if you eat that, you'll be like who? How long's that been going on? Brian, everybody's amazed. You know what I mean? They're like, oh gosh, I ain't never seen times like this. You ever read history? Here's where worlds get messed up. When people think they're God. We're living in a time right now. We got leaders that think they're God. True or false? I mean, they think they're God. They walk out on TV and say, well, I said it. Guess what I say? Whoop-a-dee-doo. You ain't God. What you say doesn't change anything. How many of y'all found that out? But I want you to realize there's a day of judgment, and when God says it, it's going to make a difference. Nick Carter, you believe that? When God says it, what? It makes a difference. Now, here's the good news on that. How many of y'all have heard this one? God said to you, your sins are forgiven. How many of y'all have heard that one? That's good. Then guess what? That means it's in motion. God didn't say we were without sin. In fact, I love the open video today. How many of y'all were shocked at how many imperfect people have followed in God's army? You see, and sometimes we think we got to be perfect. No, we got to be forgiven, and we got to trust God. Jesus is coming. Does that make sense? And here's what he says in verse 31, chapter 25, Gospel of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in all of his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. How many of y'all realize he's coming? We don't preach on this a lot, but he's coming. I was fortunate growing up. I loved my daddy. Not all of y'all got a daddy that was lovable, but I just loved my dad. And I grew up in an ancient time, a real ancient time. It's a weird time that I grew up in, before cell phones, before computers, before we had more than three stations on TV. It's an ancient time. Weird structures back in that time. Back in this time, the majority of people, we had these things called families. Back in this ancient time, and people would marry, a man would marry a woman. And they would even wait that time, long time. This is the ancient time now, ancient time. A man would marry a woman, and they would wait a while till they could actually afford a child. Imagine that. And then these ancient relic creatures back in this ancient age, these male creatures called fathers, they did something really crazy back then. Early in the morning, most all of them, hear that word right there. Most all of them would leave to go to this ancient place called work. And they would work all day long because they realized that working all day long, they were providing for this ancient thing called their. How many of y'all remember a time like that? I do. Now I live in a time where 40 plus percent don't work at all. Why? Well, I could give you a multitude of reasons, but watch this. They can. I'm just showing you how much has changed. Now, I'm not going to get on a rant about that. If you all have been to Hillview Heights Church more than two times, you understand I believe a human being ought to work. And if you don't believe that, that's your business. But here's what I want you to know. You're not going to get away with anything. There comes a day that all discussion is closed. All equal rights groups are out of business. All special interest groups have shut up. And the Son of Man comes in all of his glory and all the angels with him. And he brings in who is his. And guess what? I desire that every one of you all be on that team. Because there's nobody else that's going to be able to stand in for you on that day. Does that make sense? So it really breaks down to this. How many of you all would rather go to heaven than live in hell? And I'm just asking you a question. How many of y'all would rather do that? Me too. I think heaven's a cool place. Now, some of you are going, well, now, Pastor Steve, I believe that God is loving and merciful. I believe he's the beginning and the end. I believe that God is all love. And I believe that love has no judgment. That's because you don't understand love. Love has a judgment. The initiation of love is judgment. When Elizabeth looked at me, back when she's 14 years old, little butterfly eyes, her eye, I mean, I looked at her and melted her down. It hadn't happened since, but at that moment I did. And I looked at her and I said, Elizabeth, I didn't say Elizabeth, I said, who are you with a ring on your toe? And she looked at me and said, who do you think you are? Now, being the 14-year-old of knowledge that I had back then, I knew who I was. I said, I'm Steve Ayers. And she kind of batted her eyes and then gave me another smart aleck answer, and love has been in the air ever since. She made a judgment. She judged me worthy of talking to him. Back then, you remember, when you're young, adolescent, how do you flirt with somebody? You pick on them. Now, this was back in the ancient day when people used to go to work. Y'all remember that day? When people wouldn't think about taking on another life unless they had the resources to take on another life. It's an ancient day. It's not really an ancient day. The day that we're in is a day that believes we know more than God. And the day you believe you know more than God, you stop showing mercy to others. You see, you can't love God when you think you're He. And you really can't love others until you realize that God loves you. Remember, I told you the first Sunday, it's hard to forgive others if you truly haven't been what? Forgiven. People don't become important, but people are ultimately important. Let me tell you what's going to happen. God's going to return. Are y'all cool with that? God does return. And I want you to hear the truth about that, and I'm not going to draw circles, and I'm not going to tell you when he's coming back, because I don't know the day he's coming back. Because if I told you the day, if I had the day and I told you when he's coming back, all we'd do is increase the sale of anxiety pharmaceuticals. That's all we would do. And they'd make it enough money as it is. You know what? The question is not, do I need to worry about Jesus coming back? The question that we really need to answer as followers, am I walking with him? As I said, I love my father. I couldn't wait for my father to come home. How many of y'all were fortunate enough to you couldn't wait till your father came home? I remember waiting as a kid when I get home from school. I couldn't wait till my dad came home, had things to tell him. I related to him. It was great to be in his presence. And when his car pulled up, now there was a ritual. There was a 30-minute pause before you could talk to him. Back then, he had to watch the old Walter Cronkite. He had to make sure the world was okay. This was also an ancient day. It was a great day. There was only about an hour of news for the whole day. That was it for the whole stinking day. They had an hour of news. You watched the evening news. They gave it to you in 25 minutes. They had a cup. Talking about a world going to hell. They even had cigarette commercials back in. Cool Mentholes would come on right before they tell us who we blew up next. I remember this day. I was a kid and I was quiet. Kyle, I was quiet. That 30 minutes, it was holy. It was a ritual. It was a stance. We had to figure out what's going on in the world. And then after that was over with, I would engage with my dad. But I look for him coming home. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. And before him, all the nations will be gathered. Now, I want you to hear, there's going to be a day. How many nations are going to be gathered? Are there going to be any special nations? Just all nations? Now, listen, I can talk about this at Hillview, okay? We got every color known under the mankind here, okay? So if you all are impressed with whatever color you got painted at your birth, get over it. Watch this. Color does not exempt you, degrade you, nor does it give you special treatment. It's all. We're all in this together. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to know. Y'all are capping. Boy, y'all, it's so politically correct. Y'all can't believe I even say things like that, do you? Somebody said, Harris, you know you're going to get shot one day. I said, I'm aware of that. But they better be a good aim. Because I said, hey, so what do you mean? He said, they're betting I don't shoot back. See what I'm saying? In other words, listen, we got to stand up and understand this. God is coming back. And he's going to gather all the nations. And all this stuff we talk about doesn't make a hill of beans difference to God. And the reason I warn y'all, some of y'all are caught up in it. Some of y'all, guess what? Y'all going to demand your rights all the way to hell. You're going to be talking about equal treatment for seals, like that made a difference. Some of you care more about sea lions than you do human beings. Some of you care more about your issue than you do God's issue. You will not be judged on what you think. How many of y'all understand that? You will not be judged on what you think. And what do we get highly invested in? Come on, like y'all did that real well on this row. God's not going to ask me on the day of judgment when he comes in all of his glory, Heirs, what do you think? That will be one of the permanent times I'm absolutely silent in that moment. How many of y'all will be quiet when Jesus parts the east sky? I will. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to tell you what I'm holding unto. God said he'd forgive us of all of our sins. Because if he plays the screen of my life, I'm going to sit there and go, ooh. Especially if my mama's standing there. My mama's standing there. It'd be bad. How many of y'all okay with watching a film of your life with your mama standing there? Okay, for some of you young adolescents, I'm going to let you know about your mama. She already knows. How many of y'all realize your mama knows where you've been? Even when she doesn't act like it, she's got those curlers in her hair walking around like she's aloof to where you've been. She knows. You know why? God speaks to mamas. See, if you read your Bible, you know that he talks to mamas. On the day of judgment, there's a line drawn. Now, listen, here's what I'm trying to pray for because I love y'all. Now, listen, I could be a pastor that just told you a big lie and told you that it doesn't matter. You can believe whatever you want to believe, and you can have a God of your own preference, and you can join in whatever God you think is worthy to you. But guess what? There's a reality. There's a Jesus that wants to forgive you of your sins and connect you to heaven. That's real. Well, I could argue it's not. You're going to have to decide if it's real. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a day that Jesus comes back, and those who said it's not real, it's not going to be a good day. And for those who believe in Jesus Christ and have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what kind of accent you had. I don't care where you lived on the face of the earth. I don't care if you were rich or you were poor. We're all going to be the same when we stand before Jesus Christ. We're either going to be on his right or we're going to be on his left. And guess what he gathers? Now, I'm telling you, that's going to be a day, isn't it? Can y'all imagine the glory of all the angels? I mean, angels with haircuts like Keith singing to the glory of God as Jesus comes down. I mean, this is a moment. This makes the Commodores look like I remember when I was a kid, I loved the Commodores and I loved Earth, Wind, and Fire. None of you in here probably even know what groups those are. And if you do, it's because you are older than you used to be. And but how many of y'all remember that era of the big Motown bands? Like Earth, Wind, and Fire. I always thought, I remember I got to see them in Nashville. And you got to understand, we were technologically deprived generation, okay? So when you saw the trumpet players, Chris Allen, did you go to that concert? Earth, Wind, and Fire? You missed it in Nashville? Well, you were in a church that wouldn't even let you play cards, right? Much less go to a rock and roll concert. Well, Chris, I cheated and went to hell anyway. Went to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. And they came out and they had on these white jumpsuits. Now, back then, this was cool, girls, okay? And they brought up these silver trumpets, you know, September 5. And they sparkled. And it was just this pageantry of that this is a big event. That's what it's going to look like when the Son of Man comes. Jesus ain't coming back on a donkey second round. Jesus ain't riding a donkey second round. We done had the donkey ride. White horse is the next ride. Who comes on white horses? Remember your history. Who comes on white horses? Who comes on white horses? The king. Jesus coming in his full glory and all the angels with him. That's who said the king comes. And guess what he does? In verse 33, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. So today, I pray to God that everybody in here can baa. Baa. Because that means you are what? Sheep. Guess what goats can't do? How many of y'all have ever seen a goat do this? Baa. You never seen a goat? Goat won't talk to you. Old goat just does this. Crosby, you've seen a goat. Some of y'all say, well, I know a cute goat. Yeah, I do too. Grilled. You know what goats do? Hold on, it's interesting about goats. You know what goats do? It's interesting that God would put the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. Guess what goats will do? I got to thinking about this week. I don't know why I have these thoughts, but I do. Guess what goats do? They'll eat anything. Much like many in America today. They'll believe anything. They'll eat anything. They don't question anything. They just digest whatever's in front of them. I've seen a goat eat glass. Now, what kind of animal goes, there's a Coke bottle. Something wrong with that animal. You ain't never seen a sheep. Now, before you get too excited about sheep, you know why God made us sheep? Because we ain't real bright. If y'all all look at a bunch of sheep, it is not fun. I'm going to tell you what, you will start getting a little ticked off at God that he called us sheep if you watch sheep longer than an hour. I've done it. The Bible talked about sheep, and I said, man, what does it mean? God calls us sheep all the time. You, like sheep, have gone astray. So I had a friend of mine. He was a shepherd. So I said, do you mind if I go watch the sheep for an hour? He goes, no. He said, it's going to get you mad. He said, Reverend, I know why you're doing that, because God calls us sheep, and you're fixing to go watch his sheep, and you're not going to be real pleased with God that he called us sheep. Sure enough, they act just like us. Big woolly. This happened while I was watching. Big woolly. It was a big woolly sheep. He was bigger than the other sheep. He waddled out there and stepped in the middle of a pond. Guess what the other sheep did? They came out there with him. Guess what happened? After about 40 minutes, I'm like, this sheep ain't moving. You know why? They were stuck. You know why the other four sheep went out in the pond? Because Big Wooly did. And you think, whoa, I wouldn't. Yeah, watch this. You know why a lot of us believe what we believe? Just because somebody else told us. We never questioned it. We never looked at it. We never saw it was true. We just followed the wind instead of following he who made the wind. You see, he who made the wind stands in judgment. And guess what he said? I will separate. Now, listen, I'm not going to go over this and make anybody all upset, because I want to tell you the truth. God desires that you be a sheep. That's his heart. That's why he came, so you wouldn't have to be a goat. Isn't that, at least that's good this morning, isn't it? If you came in here thinking you were a goat, God doesn't want you to be a goat. Is that cool? How many of y'all have ever seen people that just said, man, I just wish I could be a goat? How many of y'all ever chose goat when you were a little kid? You know, you're 3 years old, and you talk about the animal you wanted to be, and you go, I want to be a goat. Nobody. It's always like a lion or a tiger, you know. A goat. He's going to sever. Now, what he's showing is, goats and sheep do not live the same way. Goats and sheep do not think the same way. Goats and sheep do not act the same way. So on the day of judgment, goats and sheep do not end up in the same place. Once again, let me remind you out of Advent, love is not tolerance. Love is not tolerance. By the philosophical thinkers of the United States of America today, they're trying to redefine love as tolerance. This is not a definition of love, because guess what? Love does not rejoice in evil. So love does not tolerate what? Evil. What the great minds of the United States of America are trying to tell you today is that we can embrace evil, we can embrace the things that are against God, and we, as long as we tolerate them, then we're being loving, and that's like God. No. God says, I have a final day. You know what God's doing? He's waiting patiently for more sheep. How many of y'all excited about that? He's waiting patiently for more sheep. However, I want you to understand, there is a judgment. Because look what happens. Then the king will say to the one on his right, come, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God's had a plan for a long time, and you're in it. I'm in it. People are in it to be saved. Check this out. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me in. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and then you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer this. When? I'll tell you when. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it unto me. How many of y'all realize that loving God and loving people is a natural event? Those on the right didn't realize. They didn't freak out and go, well, now we've had a special program to clothe the naked. We just do it. Now, here's what I see this. I see a lot of young people that have conscience, but they don't want to do anything from themselves to change somebody else's situation. Since in Pastor Mark, a few weeks ago, we had this young guy. He kept telling us about, you know, we don't take care of folks. And Mark was showing him all the people that get touched by this church. And then he was talking about, well, our churches need to be better. And he said, I was walking by this hungry person the other day, and our churches should take care of him. Mark looked at him and he said, did you pull some money out of your pocket and go feed him? And he got quiet. Because you see, we tend to love about, we like to yell corporately about social problems, and we don't like to be involved in them individually. See, I believe this, if you take care of your neighbor, there'll be a lot of neighbors taken care of. We used to do that. Make sense? Used to, we just took care of our folks. The folks that were around us, we all took care of each other. And guess what happened? People were better fed than when we've turned it over to a few taking care of many. We took care of our neighbor. Church took care of church folk. Amen? They took care of them. If you grew up out in the country, everybody took care of each other. Somebody got sick, somebody helped bring the crops in. It wasn't a big deal. They didn't spend 2 years planning over to do that. It was just a natural response. I think you ought to take care of people. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And the second show it is what? Get on it. Guys, listen, y'all be national. Hillview, I want to thank you. 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 Everything that's mentioned in that judgment happens here. We clothe naked people. We go to the prisons. Heck, we got a bunch of us that were customers. Then we welcome prisoners. I had a guy who's so funny a couple years back. For some reason, people don't guess me being the pastor of the church when they're here. I don't know what it is. So I was out back, and he was talking to me, and we was talking. He said, man, where do you go on Wednesday nights? I said, man, I go over here to this men's ministry. You want to go with me? He said, yeah. He said, well, I better not go in there. I said, why? He said, man, I don't know if I can go in there. Those people are holy. I said, listen, I know all of them. They are not. They are forgiven. And he said, no, man. I said, I appreciate you trying to be nice, but I've done time. I said, what do you mean you've done time? He said, I've been in prison. I said, that's almost a prerequisite for this men's group. Come on in. Welcome to what? Welcome those who've messed up. That's the heart of God. That's what I love about our churches. We welcome those that have messed up. But let me tell you what I love about it even better. After you've messed up, we don't say, come on in and keep messing up. That's what the world does. The world says, well, you just go ahead and keep destroying yourself, and we're going to let you know we love to watch you destroy yourself. If that's love, I need to be hated. But you know what love says? Come on in where you are because you don't have to stay that way. Love says, you're not going to have to stay naked. We're going to give you some clothes. You don't have to stay hungry. We're going to give you some food. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Guess what? Love says, you're no longer going to be a stranger, but you're going to become a child. And love says, guess what? Because God has saved me, changed me, and made me new, you will be better than you were before. That's the gospel. Some people ask me, is that the social gospel? I said, there is no other. The gospel is social. The gospel comes for people. Now, I want you to hear me clearly, and we're out of here. For those that do not receive Jesus, there is a hell, and you better hear me. I don't know if they're colleagues, but there are people that attempt to preach. And they so want to be liked that they change the scripture so that the crowd will like them. We got over that from the beginning. For I was wondering, is there a consequence to not follow God? Oh, yeah. You don't ever want to hear these words from God. Depart from me. Now, none of us can call judgment. And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want everybody to participate because I don't want anybody to be confused. I want you to verbally state to somebody near you, I'm not the judge. Go ahead. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. You need to tell me. I want you to confess it. I'm not the judge. Gerald, you ain't no judge. And even if you are a judge by profession, you are not one for long. Make sense? Watch this. The Supreme Court of the United States of America, most honorable Strickler, they do hold the highest court in this nation, but they're not the highest court. There's an almighty God. We used to believe this in this nation. We used to believe that we were subject to the laws given by God, the Ten Commandments. Remember, that was back in ancient day when we used to marry and raise our kids and not blame everybody for our faults. Y'all remember that day? That's what made the nation back in that day. It's amazing. That's what created the nation. Holding hands and singing Barney songs did not help us get through the wars we fought. Welcoming the stranger did. Visiting and releasing the prisoner. And if we're not going to participate with God, there is a hell. I want you to hear what it says in verse 41. Whether you believe, now listen, Oprah's going to tell you there's not a hell. Rob Bell's going to tell you there's not a hell. All the philosophers of this moment of time, they're going to tell you there's not a hell. If you turn to what is known as liberal social philosophy, what they do not believe there's a hell. They believe that you're inherently good. That's where they start. You're inherently good. Is that true? Not according to the Bible. The Bible said all sinned. So if you're trying to be a good person, what happens? You'll realize I need Jesus. Now, why do we help and love people? I want you to hear me. I don't want anybody to get confused. Because we need Jesus. Politics won't save anybody. Philosophy doesn't save anybody. How many of you parents found out you couldn't save your children?
How many of y'all did this one right here?
Ladies, how many of y'all married a man because you were going to change him? How'd that go? Men, if you all did this, this just shows that what limited thinking you started with. See, if you'd have just read the first part of the Bible, you'd find nobody changes a woman's mind. How many of you men married and said, well, now I'll get her shaped up like I want her on down the way. Now, men talk like that with each other, but there's another problem men have too. We lie all the time. I loved it. My buddy was telling me one day, he's out there, he's talking, he said, well, I'll tell you what, my wife, and his cell phone rung. He goes, I'll be home right now. We all went, yeah. She had a special ringtone for him. It was like he had a shock collar on. Yes, ma'am. Look like a bird dog. Look at here. Be careful, verse 41. Then I will say to those on my left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Church, there is a hell. It is real. And there will be people there, unfortunately. Hell was never designed for you. Look what it says. Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was designed for what? The devil and his angels. It's not made for human beings. But if you're not remade by God, guess what awaits? Hell. Now, I could do this. I could just skip over that, and we could talk about something else, and y'all would smile and, you know, feel better about life today. But I want you to know, you need to feel, wait a minute, just for a moment, this is true. Without Jesus Christ, there's hell. Now, that's not politically correct. And will there be a judgment? Absolutely. It'll be a judgment in the name of Jesus. Crosby, I think what messed everybody up is when we start to let everybody play ball right off the bat. Back in this ancient day, I mean, this is amazing, y'all. This would kill kids today. Baseball season's coming on. Back when I played baseball, I mean, like when you started playing like 7, 8 years old, you remember Miss JD? They cut you if you weren't any good. I mean, you didn't even play on anybody's team. Not did you not get a trophy for stinking. You didn't even get to be on the team. They cut you. At 7 years old, they said, you can't play. And even if you went, well, you violated my rights, they said, you ain't got none. And you know why you got cut from the team? Anybody know? Because you wasn't any good. I got cut. I mean, I was a mess as a kid. I had the same size head I got right now when I was 7 years old. I'm not lying to you. I had big old feet and I had big hands and a little body with no weight. Now think about this. You got a big balloon head, coach. You know, you watch this. If you saw me at 7 years old, I got a big head, big feet, big hands, and a little old scrawny, skinny body. You want me on your team? Be honest. It's okay. I won't be offended. They cut me. I done told you, Coach Riley, they cut me. They cut me. I got in that car with my daddy and I said, I didn't make a team. He said, no, you didn't. I said, why do you think I didn't make a team? He said, well, you can't catch a ball. Some of you fathers are going, your father? Yeah. He told the truth. He didn't tell me it was because I had a big head. We didn't go start a, you know, organization, coaches against big-headed kids. We didn't start that. I didn't demand my equal rights for big-headed kids. I didn't say it was an unjust world because God gave me a big head and gave everybody else a normal-sized cranium. I didn't start all that. I did something really crazy. Went to the backyard and learned how to catch the ball. And my daddy threw balls to me. And finally, after getting smacked in the nose a couple times, I learned how to catch the ball. My daddy even threw a ball at me and let me get smacked in the nose. And he didn't take me to the doctor when I got smacked in the nose. We didn't have to worry about health care. We didn't use it much. I'd be all right, but damn, my nose is over here. Here, it'll go back over there. Y'all remember those days? And I hated to hear my dad talk. He grew up in the mountains. And he'd go, well, I'll tell you what, when we got a cut like that, they poured, because it used to have that red medicine. That's what we called it. I think it's called Mercurochrome is its technical name. I called it red medicine. And if you weren't saved, it would burn the Hades out of you, burn the hell out of you as soon as they put it on. You know what I'm talking about? You're done. Red medicine. It cured everything. You know, you got a cold, red medicine on forehead. You know, you got back problems, red medicine up your back. It cured everything back then. Of course, my dad would go, oh, you think that red medicine is bad? Now, back when I was a kid, turpentine. I said, turpentine like you use when you paint? He said, yeah. Put some turpentine on it and wrap it up. Some of the old timers would tell you, you put turpentine on it and wrap it up, it'll be all right. You know why? Because you're dead. Mayor, they probably did that down in Alabama, didn't they? Y'all had enough pine trees to make enough turpentine. Put turpentine. But I mean, my dad and I, we worked all summer long because I wasn't any good. That's the facts. I just wasn't any good. Back in this class, I know some of you parents can't imagine this. Back in the old days when you failed a class, guess what you did? You failed a class. And you went and learned it till you could pass it. Yeah. Some of you school teachers in here is unimaginable. I can't imagine my father coming and seeing you, telling you that it is your fault. Now, he might come to see you to apologize for the dumb child he had prepared for you. He'd be apologizing. I am sorry. I remember one time in eighth grade, I made an F in conduct. I'm just telling y'all, I don't know why I'm telling y'all this, but I did. John Crosby, I made an F in conduct. And I mean, listen. You got to do something bad, in my opinion, to make an F in conduct. I didn't hit a teacher. Or you need to say some words that are pretty bad. I didn't do that. Now, was I ever quiet in class? Absolutely not. Did I aggravate? Hey, listen, I was a community organizer before they thought of it. I'd have probably ended up being a community organizer if God hadn't got it, because I could organize the classroom into chaos. And I have found out that that is the job of community organizers, to organize the community into chaos. Work them up in a frenzy. Well, I did that a lot in class, and I got people in trouble. And a lot of times I got people in trouble and stayed out of trouble. Any of y'all ever do that? That's called a wig. That's bad. I'm not going to tell you what you call that kind of person. You call that person somebody needing Jesus. Made an effing conduct. Now, let me help you something. I made one effing conduct. And I didn't go see a therapist to adjust my behavior. I have stood at the judgment seat of Christ. And let me tell you, there were consequences. And the next day I walked into quiet class, Sheriff, I was silent. I stood before the Lord in total silence, just like they do over at Revelation. Because guess what? My Father had relayed to me a healing for my conduct. I never made an F in conduct again. In fact, I made an A the rest of the way out there in conduct. And the teacher asked him, he said, Mr. Ayers, your child has acted wonderfully in class. His response was, he's still present, isn't he? My dad take me out if I wasn't going to act right. Guess what? You're going to be taken out if you're not going to be who God made you to be. Look what he says, depart from me. And he said, here's the reason for the departure. I was hungry, no food. I was thirsty, no water. I was naked, you went on by. I was a stranger, you never said hello. You never welcomed me. You never, ever engaged. You talked about it and never became it. How many of you all have seen that pretty popular? Watch this. You know why our people are still hurting all of these decades? Because all we do is talk. But God's people aren't called to talk. They're called to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and body. And then guess what? To love their neighbor as yourself. If your neighbor's air conditioner goes out, let me ask you a question. Do they want you to go do a lecture on the theory of heat, or would they like a fan? If I'm hungry, do I want to hear about world poverty, or would I like a hot dog? I'm telling you, the world changes when we as believers engage personally to the ministries that are in front of us. I am more convinced today than ever that what the world is missing is the church on the local scene. I think we've spent so many years organizing for a great happening, we've missed them. Because great happenings start in you, in your neighborhood, and to the world. So just continue to do these things, okay? When they're in front of you. I'm not asking you to start a clothes drive. Take care of the folks that are around you. If all of us in this room took care of the folks around us, what would happen to the city this week? Yeah, just be that. When Jesus saves you of your sins, you stand good in judgment. And you know what? I don't have to ask you to do these things. They'll be a part of you. Y'all welcome prisoners because you've been forgiven. You welcome strangers because you know God has none. You clothe the naked because you don't want people to be cold and left out. Make sense? You feed and you give drink. You do that every week. You do that every week. Do y'all realize this past year you fed thousands of people inside the city of Bowling Green, Kentucky? Thousands of people. You say, Pastor Steve, you reckon anybody took advantage of us? Yeah, guarantee it. But you know what? I would rather for them to take advantage of me than question that they might not get a blessing from the Lord. Are there a bunch of people in Bowling Green that are just rip-off artists and just go from one charity to another charity? Absolutely. But they're going to stand, and most likely they'll hear this, depart from me. My job is to make sure and pray with all great glory that they hear this, come to me. How many of y'all glad that we got a judge that says, come to me? All ye who are messed up. That's not an exact quote, but that's what it means. Everybody, all nations gather, come to me and be saved. Some of y'all need to do that today. Some of y'all need to re-up. Don't grow weary in doing good things. Keep welcoming people. Keep loving people. Keep feeding people. So, Pastor Steve, I said, I know. Man, I'm sure God gets like that with me sometimes. Just keep on. Keep on to the end. You know why? One day he's coming back. So here's the way I want to leave it to you today. I hope God catches you doing what he asked you to do. That's a good way to be judged. Amen. All right, well, let's stand together, and we're going to come to altar. Y'all been more than wonderful today. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for being in church. Thanks for showing up. All right, listen, I want everybody to enter into prayer right now. This is an altar. This is not the escape part of worship, okay? I want to help you all with this altar. It's just a powerful time, and I love you guys. This is not escape time. Right now, quit thinking about food. There are people here that need to receive Jesus. There's only one way I know how to stand good on the day of that judgment. Lord, you asked me to believe in you, and I believe. He goes, that's why you're on the right hand. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to receive his grace. And then guess what's going to happen? Natural God stuff's going to come out of you. So Pastor Steve, I've messed up, so have I. So's your neighbor. So's everybody. I want you to hear me. None of these little groups that we've created in the last 100 years will be in existence on the day of judgment. You will stand eyeball to eyeball with the Son of God. And his judgment is instant and final. So guess what? Right now, he judges us in need of grace. So guess what I'd say? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You just watched this beautiful baptism. And what did it illustrate? I am not what I used to be. And now I'm risen to become what God has made me to be. Some of you need to come and be saved. Some of you need to come and be baptized. You need to be obedient. Some of you who are following Jesus Christ, you need to say, you know what, I need to get with it. I need to get real. I need to be honest. I need to activate what's already in me. You've already done a good thing today. Guess what? You're in worship. Does God want you to be in worship? Yeah. We get about an hour or so to hear about the things of God, and the rest of the week, I promise you, we're going to hear about all. Most of them aren't about God, to be honest. Maybe you need to come today and just say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me. Well, let's pray. Lord, this altar is open. I pray for those that need to just come and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. If that's you, just tell the Lord, Lord, I know I need to believe and I want to believe. And Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. I promise you, if you ask God to save you, he's going to save you right now. Some of you may have already asked the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was a year ago. I don't know when it was, but you know you're following Jesus, but you've never been obedient in baptism. I promise you that will save, that will literally change the way you live out your journey of faith. So why don't you come and say, Lord, I'm going to start the year off right. I'm going to be baptized, and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Maybe today you need to come and just say, Lord, I need to re-up. God, thank you for bringing it to my consciousness that other people are important. And help me do that, Lord. Just help me see that is around me. I love y'all. Y'all look at me. I love y'all. Listen. Thank you for being a part of changing the world. Thank you. And if you think you're not important, I want you to know the one person you change, you have no idea who it is. You know, everybody talks about Billy Graham. Everybody talks about Billy Graham. And man, God's honored his life. I'm a Billy fan. 95 years old, still preaching. But guess what? It was a very unknown preacher named Mordecai Ham. Just an old salted dog, Kentucky redneck, better get saved preacher that preached the revival that Billy Graham was saved in. And that old preacher that nobody knows his name, that old preacher just doing what God asked him to do, preached to millions of people unbeknownst to him. I'm not asking you to be a hero. I'm just asking you to do what God made you to be. I am asking you to do this. You better trust that Jesus will change the world in through you. You just don't know how. Let's just let it be released. Amen. Hey, I love you. If you're not saved right now, receive Jesus. If you've been saved and not been baptized, then get obedient with Jesus. If you need to come and pray, just come and pray. If you need to pray for healing, guess what? I believe God heals people. Some of y'all are healed by Jesus Christ. I believe God puts marriages back together. If your marriage is acting up, one of the best things to do, come pray together. It is hard to fight each other while you're praying to God. Try it. Try to fight and pray at the same time. See what happens to you this week. All right, in the name of Jesus, the altar's open. Let's worship. Let's worship. Come on. Come on. Thank you for coming. Come on, guys. Come on.